ಪ್ರಣನಅನ್ತ್ವಾ ಗಣಪತಿ ಗುಂ ಹವಾಮಹೇ ಕವಿಂ ಕವೀನಾಮುಪಮಶ್ರವಸ್ತಮಂ ಜ್ಯೇಷ್ಠರಾಜಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಾಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮಣಸ್ಪತ ಆನಶೃಣ್ವನ್ನುತಿಭಿಃ ಸೀದಸಾದನಂ ಓಂ ಶ್ರೀ ಮಹಾಗಣಪತಯೇ ನಮಃ ಸದಾಶಿವಸಮಾರಂಭಾಂ ಶಂಕರಾಚಾರ್ಯಮಧ್ಯಮಾಂ ಅಸ್ಮದಾಚಾರ್ಯಪರ್ಯಂತಾಂ ವಂದೇ ಗುರುಪರಂಪರಾಂ ಓಂ ಸಹನಾಭವತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ 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 ವೇದಾಂತ ಡಿಂಡಿಮಸ್ತತ್ವಂ ಏಕಮುದ್ಘೋಷಯಂತಿ ಯತ್ ಆಸ್ತಾಂ ಪುರಸ್ತಾತ್ ತತ್ತೇಜಃ ದಕ್ಷಿಣಾಮೂರ್ತಿ ಸಂಹಿತಂ. So sit yourself comfortably, getting yourself ready for our meditation. As we've been seeing in Nididhyasanam, the mind is used. So being able to withdraw my attention, make the mind be more calm, present, it's easier to look at certain points we've been studying, that we've been reflecting on. And it's much easier to see them clearly, and much easier to view things from that angle instead of from the usual angle that I look at things through habit. So we were looking at the verse that was saying how that I am chit, the atma is the awareness. Dehadi pancha koshastha sa spurtir anubhuyate sa spurtihi atma na anyat iti vedanta dindimaha. I am no other than that awareful being. So anything else other than I, the awareness, is anatma, is not me. So take your attention now to the external world, the surroundings around you. Try to observe in a very detached way. I'm just simply observing as it is. Because I'm a conscious being, because I'm aware, I can be aware of the sounds, sensations around me, objects around me. But isn't it just like the light on the object? The light illumines the object, but the light is untouched by the object. I'm aware of the surroundings, but the awareness isn't affected by the surroundings, remains the same, regardless what the surroundings are. This is why We use the term chidakasha, the space like awareness. Awareness is like the space. Whatever objects are there, the space remains the same. And with no problem, it accommodates any objects that come and go. So I, the space like awareness, Chidakasha, within this awareness, anything can come and go, any sounds, any sensations, any forms, any smells. But I, the awareness, remains the same. Now let's shift the attention to the body. Because I'm aware, I feel the body. The awareness brings the body to light. Does the body in any way change, I, the awareness? Observe the body in the light of the awareness. I am that awareness. And the awareness is untouched by the body, just like by any other objects I observe. I can observe the breathing pattern. When I observe it, isn't it the same as observing an object? The breath is brought to light by the light of awareness. But the light of awareness isn't affected by the breathing in any way. Then I can bring my attention to my mind. Whatever goes in the mind, whether thoughts come and go, any feelings come and go, whether the mind is quiet, I, the awareness, bring the happenings of the mind, state of mind, to light. But I, the awareness, I do not change along with any changes in the mind. As the light shining on the waves in the ocean, light seems to be dancing, sparkling here and there, but the changes there are in the water, not in the light that illumines all of the waves, all of the ripples. So in the light of I, Chidakasha, the thoughts come and go, emotions come and go, but I, the Chidakasha, remains the same. Now try, you take one hand and just move it a little bit while you're sitting there and observe the whole movement happening. The movement, the action happens. I'm aware of the activity, aware of the movement. I'm the same awareness, same Chidakasha, with the movement, without the movement. The movement or the stillness brought to light by I, the awareness. And then I have a persona, an idea of what I am. I'm this much. Some skeleton idea with some other vague notions come and go, change. How do I know the persona is there? How do I know I have some sort of wavering, changing self-image? I'm aware of the persona of the self-image. I'm that same awareness, when my persona feels very expansive, very free. And the same awareness when the persona seems insignificant or small. Same awareness. So all of these, my surroundings, my body, my thoughts, ideas about myself, we can leave them as they are. Just I need to see I'm the Sakshi, Chidakasha, I'm the awareful being. Saspurtihi Atma Na Anyat. I'm no other than the awareful being. No objects, no storm, no weapons can touch the space. How can any of this world, including body, mind, ideas, have any effect or touch myself, the awareful being? So the interesting thing, no words can just, we try to point out that which can't be pointed out and describe what can't be described by words. We do that, very interesting. So the instrument is always, will never be able to fully do it, right? So this is the interesting thing, always, it can't be a sufficient thing because nothing can do it, nothing can do that. That's why I think it's the Katha Upanishad that we're studying. At some point says that it's amazing. It's an amazing thing. Somebody who's listening to this thing, amazing. Somebody pointing it out because there's no full means for it like this. A very interesting thing we do. Would you mind just maybe getting the door? Thank you so much. And the consciousness, the awareness. So last time we were seeing how then I am and I know, these are two intrinsic to me, are both intrinsic to me. Sat and chit are intrinsic. There's no question, I am and I know. And if we really look closely at it, you can't separate. You can't say, do a viveka between I am and I know like this. You can't separate. When you say I know, means that I know that I, you know, just based the knowingness, I know that I am, it's in one thing. Or I am, meaning I know that I am. The stone will never say, I am, like this, it can't. Because, and let's say the supercomputer with greatest AI knows, it doesn't really have the same knowingness, but just to try to find an example. Or here, there is an example actually. The sun is illumining the earth. So it illumines, but it doesn't say, I know I'm illumining, I'm luminous. It doesn't, it's luminous, but without saying, I know I'm luminous. But here, you can't separate the two. You know, you can't separate the sun from its luminosity, one and the same, sun is luminosity. So I am and I know, it's the same. You can't have two separate things. So we're just using these in order to bring our attention to. Because really, we say Advaita. Advaita, so there's no, if something has attributes, right? Saguna, if you'll say the Atma has three gunas, Sat, Chit, Anand, the three gunas, then the Atma now is not Nirguna, and then once it has some qualities. Some qualities mean some limitation. So they're not really qualities, just ways for us to point our attention to it, like this. Because once we know what it is, then there isn't any differentiation. So it's just for the communication purpose for us to bring our attention to it, that's all. So I am and I know, like this. This we said, you can't separate one and the other. It's, you're not going, because the moment you look at one, the other one, it's all one thing. Package deal, you can't separate, you can't tell the person, no, I just want one. No, sorry. You want one, we'll send you 10. Sorry, you can't get. Some things like this, I look on Amazon, I want to get one little piece, something. They won't sell less than four or something. Okay, what can you do? They're just going to sit there forever in your storage or something like this. So in any case, not something separable in this way. Now, interesting thing is that when you say I am and I know, when you say, I am, then in this, there isn't activity. Existence is an activity, because everything else is an activity, but to be isn't an activity. It just is, like this. It's a verb, actually, right? It's a verb. We say is, asti, or you'll say, right, you'll say the, you know, that the book is, the, what is it? Pustak, pustake. Whatever language you can have, you say is, like this, is. So we put it as a verb, but really, other verbs are some activity where something comes, goes, some sort of change, something is happening. But here, it's not something like that. Just, it exists. So it's not, there's no activity. So very, very, a very nice way this is pointed out about ourselves is that it's the being shining as the knowing, in which there is no doing, like this. So we say human being, right? So one time years back, once when Swami Ram Sarupanandaji was here, so one of Jyoti's students said to him, Swamiji, how are you doing? So I was there, so I said, you know, he's human being, so he's being, not doing. So he liked that so much. Whenever I'd see him and I'd say, Swamiji, how are you doing? He'd always say, am I being or doing? For years after that, like this. So we say human being, but we identify as human doing all the time, as doing, doing. It's the being in the form of appearing as the human, like this, right? So actually at home, you might have a cat or a dog being, right? House being and a garden being and a husband or and children being, like this. So we always see the doing. So this is interesting, very nice way to point out Satchidananda like this, the what I am, the being, shining is the knowing, in which there's no doing, like this. The action doesn't touch it, as we see. But what happens, though, is when we just go through life and just do what we need to do our duties and everything, then we're caught up in all the doing and activity and look, you know, what was before, what I have to do later. So we don't have time to really look closely and analyze closely. Just like the all of the scientific experiments, they have to have the time and place to be able to look at it closely. Once they can do that, they can figure out then, okay, they use it for some sort of application. But otherwise, how are they going to really look at and study it? So we need time to really look at these things. That's why the Mananamididhyasana is so important, because otherwise there's a little bit of insight and some knowledge about it. And, you know, we fill big notebooks, like I have a big notebook here full, for each, like 2 pages for each of these verses, and it stays there nicely. But then having to take these points and look into them. And then the more we look into them, the more it becomes clear. Just like science, they find something in the laboratory, and then that's true for anywhere, right? We have the light on here, the electricity on, because, you know, it was looked at closely in the lab and how it works, and then, okay, then it can work anywhere as long as certain materials, certain way to conduct the electricity, and certain way of filament or certain gas there to make the light shine because the electricity, and then fine, it works. So how having to look at it closely. So in this way, otherwise it stays more superficial, like this. This is what happens. So that's why the vichara is so important. So now what happens then, when we see that I'm the being, and shining is the doing, shining is the knowing, sorry, in which there is no doing, then there, when we just look at this, then it's very peaceful, shanti is there. So wonderful. That's why we like, you know, if you meditate a little, you just sit quietly, oh, you love it. Or that's why we love to sleep, right? We sleep, oh, so wonderful. We love to leave everything alone, drop everything. So there's a great peace and joy there, like this. Now, other things, that we experience are all measurable. Because all the other things we experience, let's not talk about time at the moment, because we'll say, well, that's peace I had for some time went away. Okay, but other things you can fathom, okay, I hear a sound, how loud the sound is, how far away the sound is, how far the sound is traveling. You see something, same way, how far it is, you know, how far the light can go. In this way, they measure, imagine how they measure this. So this light we're seeing is, they say, million or billion light years away. Who can fathom, you know, it's still measurable. Who can fathom that? But it's still measurable. But can you measure silence? Right. You can measure sound. Silence is immeasurable, you know, because they give you, when they measure sound, they give you certain decibels, right? There's a certain range that's audible for us. Then certain range we can't hear, but the dog hears, like this, right? So there's certain range. But silence, what are you going to use to measure it? So same with shanti, the being, shanti. How can you measure? What's there to measure it? So then it's in this way. So the shanti, this peace, which is the being, is, you know, immeasurable. So ananta. Endless, that you can't find any border, any beginning, end to it. Like space, go and try to measure the space, find the beginning, end of the space. You can't, like this. Where does it start, where does it end? You can't find. So Premananji, he likes to say, when you see the flies don't just fly, you know, some zigzag, or some sort of odd, they kind of do one line, then change other line, like this, right? They fly like that, very interesting. They fly straight for like 2 meters, then suddenly shift a different direction. You know, 1 meter or meter and a half, then suddenly other direction. They're doing like this. So he explained it. He said, what happened is, long time ago, long time before us humans came into the picture, that the fly panchayat got together, right? And said, okay, there's so much space, what are we going to do before we decide how to divide it, what to do with it? We're going to go and measure it. So they trained the younger ones as engineers how to measure, And they all started, so they have to fly, measure the space. That's why they go in straight line, then turn, measure. They're measuring it. So they started this, you know, a few million years back when the flies first arrived on the scene here. And they haven't finished because the space is immeasurable, so they still haven't finished the job. Like this. So the mind, no matter how much it wants to measure the space, it wants to measure the shanti like this, it can't. And the mind tries to measure it, tries to put it in a measure thing and just, you know, and just limits it and creates a mess in the end anyway. That's why we don't like flies, they're creating a mess. No, it's space you can't measure, but they keep buzzing around like this. So in any case, when you look at the being like this, you feel you're the being, then where's the limitation? And then also, so it's ananta and it's ananda, because the moment there is any activity, no, where there's no doing, any activity comes into place, there's change, right? There's change, there's separation, and then trying to get somewhere, trying not to get somewhere, and then all this whole thing goes and goes, and just, you know, whole thing starts spinning and spinning. So the moment the activity is there, the action is there, actor is there, all this, then it starts going in this way. So this is the ananda as well. So that's why the being and knowing is also the joy, the ananda, like this. That's why it's intrinsic as well. It's not different. And what happens is we look for these things. What happens is, since I don't see what I am, I'm looking for it somewhere. I'm looking because it's my nature and I want to, everything wants to go back to its natural place. So I want security, for instance. I want to be secure. So I want to have enough money. I want to have family, friend circle around, so I feel the security from that. I want to have some secure job, all these things I want to have. But then I never totally find the security, because whatever you do, nothing in the world is fully secure like this. Because anything, we know anything happens anytime. So you can't find it there. But because what is secured, I want to always be. I don't want to be. May I always exist. This is what Upanishad says. Everybody says, I want to always exist. I want to never stop being. That's what we want. So I want to continue being. I don't want to be. I don't want that to be interrupted like this. So the thing is, we're looking for it, but it's already my nature, so we'll never find it somewhere else. You can't find it somewhere else, because somewhere else, it's not its nature. The nature of anything manifest in the world is not secure. Everything else in the world is insecure, because everything knows, you know. Somebody will say, oh, the sun is surely very secure, because look, it's there so long. And the sun says, what do you mean? I'm already, you know, half my life is gone. I only have a few billion years left. How long? 2 billion years? I'm not sure. And then I don't know what's going to happen to me. What'll happen when all everything's gone and I'll, you know, burn away? I'll become a dwarf, or maybe I'll get swallowed by some other black hole. Who knows what'll happen to me? Look how insecure life is. So in this way, we can't find it there. And then here, when we go to ananda part, I'm looking for fulfillment from outside. I'm looking for, I get a little bored, I'm a little bored inside myself, so I need some entertainment from outside, right? So then nowadays, so Netflix and friends are there, and they have the wonderful model, just like where, okay, you pay a small fee and you see. And then afterwards, okay, but to see these things, you have to pay a little extra. This other channel extra business model like this. But in any case, so then, okay, so I'll get it from somewhere else. And then also, I have friends, relations, and everything. So, okay, so I feel the joy of having the company, having loved ones and this. So I feel that I'm getting from there. But also that one then is never something stable, because it's, you know, just like here, you live on the Hayward, we live near the Hayward Fault, right? So it's never stable. There's, you know, once in a while some shaking. We know one day, at some point, maybe not in our lifetime, some point there'll be some big earthquakes and this. So it's never going to be fully stable. So these things, it's never this, the that stability we're looking for. Yes, we want to have relative stability, like you have to live in a house, so you make it relatively stable. You do the best you can. House is never going to be perfect, always some maintenance, some things, some problems, but you make it because, you know, it's necessary and you do your best and that's it. But we're always looking for there. But the thing is, then when we look in these places, then it's always tinged with other things. We're actually, the relation with others is going to always be, not always of course, but in a worldly sense, it's going to be tinged with the artha-kama in it, because for security and for filling some emotional need or some comfort like this, it's all there. And so as long as we see like this, as long as it's depending on, it's dependent, I'm depending on the other like this. So this is what happens, where we're looking for something intrinsic outside, where that's not, so we're never going to fully find and never be totally fulfilling. To some extent it fulfills, yes, but won't fulfill completely. If it fulfills completely, then we're fine. We don't need it. We don't need to look for anything else. And some of them be very fulfilled by relation, whatever relations they are, but then also that relation is also going to be temporary, because, you know, you raise your children, but then they're going to go to college, right? And they're going to move on, and then see you once in a while like this. And you, so nothing can be, none of these things can permanently fulfill us in this way. Now what happens is the intrinsically ananda is just limitless. That's why it's ananta also, we say. It's limitless. But then when we look at it through the reflection, we look at it through the reflection, we look at it through the upadhi, that's what happens. Since the love of others is going to be through some reflection, through some upadhi, because what happens is we get ananda from it, we get reflected ananda because it's measurable. Today I feel more, you know, more joyful from, I feel more love today, other day less joyful, less, meaning it's, since it wavers, means that it's gradation, meaning it's ananda, it's a kosha, because it changed. I'm the same one. So it changed, so I'm seeing it just through the reflection. And the reflection will never be the same as the original. It's always something else. So actually, this is a very good thing to do, is what happens is, what really the ananda is, it's something intrinsic to me, just within myself. One who's content within themselves, oh, then they're fine, no problem. And then actually that will feed everything, everybody around them anyway. That's why people gravitate towards people that are like that. You know, just like the sun, people, you know, the planets are going around the sun. So people like to gravitate towards people that have found, because, you know, you feel the love from them. And so, but then, so it's very good, we can learn from that, but then I have to find it within myself. I remember that any time I would always love to go and spend time to see Swami Vishwanavanandaji. We were very fortunate, some of us younger disciples, that when we go to the ashram in Canada, where he used to stay, we'd see him other places too, but when we'd go there, Swami Kartikananda was his attendant. She would always make sure to give us some sort of test around the house, where his house where he stayed, and, you know, so we'd spend time there and we'd help a little bit, we'd take him, he'd like to go around the ashram in the wheelchair, things like this, so we get to spend time. Whenever I'd go, it'd be very nice, I'd feel so uplifted. After coming back, I would be in our center in New York, I'd come back so uplifted, but what happens is, you know, when you take a piece of paper and you put it here and you drop it, it doesn't just drop down, but it goes like this, right? Slowly, slowly, back and forth, and then after a few seconds, it'll settle on the ground. So you're very uplifted, but slowly, slowly, it goes away, because it's a conditioning. Somebody lifted you up, you know, somebody charges the battery, but then it goes out. So At first, it would feel very frustrating. Oh, you feel so great, but then. But then it's that, yes, what I found, it says, yes, this is there, this possibility is there, but we have to find it ourselves. We can't just have it be dependent like this. So it showed, yes, this is there, but, you know, but here it's pointing, it's intrinsic to us, and we know it's there. You know, when we look at it, we know, yes, it's there, but we get caught up in the coverings and not looking at it directly like this. So this is what happens. So very, very interesting place, then we end up like this. So what happens, it's intrinsic. So when somebody feels love, they feel more expansive. Oh, very nice. But that expansiveness is something intrinsic to themselves. But then they relate it to certain conditions or certain people. So when we look beyond and not just the conditioning, it's there, it's myself, it's great. Then let the external conditioning be what it is. Because whatever it is, tomorrow it'll change. Swami Vishnu used to love to say, he'd say that, after marriage, after some time, there are flying saucers in the kitchen. He's like to joke like this. And he said, the people fall in love. I love you because of your perfume, or I love you because of your aftershave lotion. Making a bare surface like this, it's a conditional thing. And the condition changes, whether external or my idea changes about it. It doesn't have to be the external thing changes. My own mind changes. As a kid, we used to see this Mad magazine, different cartoons. So this one cartoon this one person had there, this one lady, college or whatever, one fellow is very cool and he likes to smoke his cigar, his pipe. Oh, very cool, very much likes it. And so later they marry and it's very nice and this. And after some time, she starts getting all upset. You and your silly cigar, it's smelling so bad. Why don't you get rid of it? Like this. So in any case, so it's just for us to look and learn from. Because really, really love is we accept what's there. Because if I accept what's there, what is the ananda. So whatever else is there, okay, that's, if it touches the ananda, it's not the real ananda I'm feeling, it's just some conditional thing. So that's why unconditional, people say unconditional love. Well, unconditional love, okay, the other one's there, the other one doesn't want to be there. Like this, I'll say, oh, I love all of you are coming to Vedanta class and this, how nice, I love to have people that are interested in Vedanta. Tomorrow you'll say, okay, I'm sorry I can't come, I decided I'm going to go to Kundalini Yoga instead, this isn't for me, this Vedanta, I don't know, now I don't like you anymore, I don't love you, I'll say, okay, go enjoy, very goodbye, I'll be very nice, but I'll be, then it's totally conditional, like this. So in this way, we have to look at ourselves and we have to learn from this. Obviously, the world is here, we can learn from it, from our experiences, and this is pointing out how to learn from them. Yes, good, there's something more expansive. Yes, that is you. And if the other thing changes, see, that's still there. It's not something different. It had just some ideas in the mind changed some things, but that itself didn't change. In one place, in the discussion, there's discussion about this love with Maitreya and Yajnavalkya in the, I think it's Maitreya Brahmana, I think the section called in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. And one of the things pointed out there is that for having the experiential joy or experiential love, it has to be through an upadhi. One way you can tell through an upadhi, okay, I like something very much, I enjoy it very much, like this. But now, if I enjoy it very much, if the joy was intrinsic to it, it would be, first of all, you'd always get joy from it. This is one thing. And so like the example is with some sweet, right? There's some sweet that you really like, and so that one must be very good. Okay, you love the jalebi or rasgulla, you know. The kids will say, no, 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 I want the chocolate cake, right? Not the Indian sweets, this one, whatever it is. Then if it was intrinsic to it, then, okay, it would always bring you joy. So you can have one, you can have another, and then you can have another, and then, you know, you can, one can teach themselves. Okay, I always eat those because I really like. Okay, so eat, keep eating it. Don't stop eating it. keep taking more and more. It's not, after a few, it's not joyful anymore. It's suffering. So then was it intrinsic to it? No. So it's an upadhi, conditional. And also if something is joyful, is in joyful meaning, if it's not the upadhi, then it should always be joy. Joy should always be. So maybe there's something very, very costly. I want a Tesla. Now Tesla cars, the ones when they first came out, you have to have it, at least $80,000, $100,000. Oh, that one, I'll save up and I'll get this. Your neighbor has one. Okay, there's a Tesla car. You should be happy if it's intrinsic to the car. No, I want it in my driveway. Then it's not intrinsic to the car. It's if it's in my driveway, not if it's in that person's driveway. And you know better it's in that person's driveway because they're going to have to spend a lot on it. And when it gets scratched there and or some problem with it, small dent, they're going to have the headache. So leave it that way. It's better like that. But in any case, if it's intrinsic to it, you know, intrinsic that child is doing very well in school, very bright, very good. So if it's the friend's child, are we as happy about it? You know? So the thing is, if it's intrinsic, a child doing great, oh, I'm very happy. Actually, people that really love a certain topic, be it an art or in a science or anything, they really love that topic. When they see somebody that's very good at it, they're very happy. Wow, this person is really great at that. How wonderful. It doesn't matter if it's their student, somebody else's student, so it makes no difference. Oh, how wonderful. I'm a lot of scientists like that. You know, they're so happy this other one picked up. Good, let me go and see. Wow, this is amazing. You know, of course, not all. Some are going to be, oh, why'd they think of that? It must be wrong if they thought. I'm going to prove them wrong, or whatever. Should have been my idea, like this. So the ego can be there too. But this is because just the topic itself, that's much more expansive, how much more wonderful. Then it's not dependent just on because it's close to them. But in general, then, the experiential ananda like this is going to be some upadhi. And you need an upadhi also to connect to it. The car, you need to see it, you need to feel it. The good thing with electric cars, you don't need to hear it better. You hear that you're not hearing because they're very quiet. Somebody at our workplace years before got a Leaf. And then she thought how dangerous it is. She drives, the person doesn't hear because it's very... So, wow, this is dangerous because the person won't hear when I'm coming. They should make some noise. But in any case, you need an upadhi to enjoy it. Upadhi for the flavor, right? So it's through an upadhi, through the taste. If the taste buds aren't working as well, where is it going to be? You know, somebody loves music, so it's upadhi. Now tomorrow they get older and they can't hear as well. Then where will it be? So again, it's dependent because dependent upadhi. So it's always any experiential joy then is going to be through upadhi, not something intrinsic. And so it's going to always be limited. Limited in some way or the other, in time, in space, and it'll be in gradation too. Because even if it's a certain thing you really like, you know, you can like to be with it for so long, then afterwards the mind needs something else too. It can't just stay with that like this. So these are a few things about this, that then it's going to always be this some limited thing like that, instead of seeing that it is me, it's I myself, my nature. The more I can find just that happiness from within myself, contented myself, atman yeva atmana tushtaha stita pragyasta dochyate, then what difference does it make? The externals like this. And we can always make the excuse, well, You know, if somebody renounces everything and they don't have family, this, yeah, they can just be content in themselves. They don't need anything around. So for them, it's like this. Well, that's, you know, we can always make excuses like this. Because in the end, you know, I'm the conscious being, the Atma, regardless of what my external karma is, my external duties are. I'm the same Atma. I'm not a different Atma. So it's just a matter of paying attention to, like this. So paying attention that, okay, we learn, you know, we're in the world, so we can learn our lessons. Somebody can be, you know, renounce and everything externally, but sitting there not learning their lessons. I'm sure you can surely go and find examples of this. And there are people that are living in all sorts of strange circumstances that we may say not conducive for spiritual practice, they learn very good lessons like this. The Mahabharata has the story of the butcher. You've probably all heard of it, the butcher that is jnani, in order to show that, you know, doesn't have to be, that the sadhu went and had to learn from him to see, show that it's not the external circumstance. So in this way, what's intrinsic to me is intrinsic. So for me to learn, to observe my experiences and to see, yes, whatever was that external experience, whatever it is, yes, where did it come from? The joys came from me. When I'm really find the joy in myself, then whatever else around, that's not what's going to depict it. Now what happens is, we also, one of the upadis, of course, is our mind. So I'll say, one day my mind is, you know, feeling more up, more feeling great, more peaceful. Some of the time the mind more excited, some of the time the mind a little more down. Yes, it's like that. Now, is my beingness affected by that? No, it's the same beingness. My knowingness, chit, affected by that? No. So my ananda also isn't affected by it, because I'm the same one. It's the same thing. Satchit ananda. It's not, yeah, I'm satchit. Today I'm satchit, but I'm not ananda today. Yeah, those are there, but this one isn't. It's always satchit ananda. It's not some of the time. They'll say, yeah, atma is satchit always, but ananda some of the time. You know, they'll say, well, compromise. So what happens is, it's just that we haven't noticed it, that's all. Like in the meditation we did today about the viveka separation, seeing the separation. So what happens is, because we identify with the mind, we should learn not just to identify just the ups and downs of the mind, because then my inner condition depends on the mind, on that state. In Gita then, 14th chapter then, Krishna says, what is it? Parvrittim cha, I wrote down if I didn't remember. Prakasham cha, pravrittim cha, mohameva cha pandava, nadveshti sampravrishtani, na nivritani kankshati. When the mind is in sattvic mood, it's more balanced now. Then the mind is a little more excited, rajasic mood. Then mind becomes a little more dull or something, or a little bit down. So the yogi is going to not get excited by one or run or, you know, down because my mind is now more tamasic or more rajasic a bit. Or the mind now is in a very calm state. Oh, I'm very happy. Yes, I want to hold on to this, because I understand it's just the wavering of the mind, not them. So viveka has to be done between that two, between the state of the mind, because otherwise I'm going to be identified, and then I identify with the reflected ananda. And then I want to repeat it. So when the mind is a little up, okay, the mind's a little up. Am I the same one? Yeah. Can I be content in myself? Yeah, so it's a little like this. Then the mind is a little down. Okay. The mind is changing. It's part of the three gunas. Let it play. And the more we can detach from it like this, the less it's going to be. It's not that it won't have any. Everything in the world is made out of three gunas. So it always will have some ups and some downs. You can't make it not have that at all. But we can learn how not to be more dependent on it. Less dependent, the more naturally I'm going to be content in myself. Right? Content in myself, then the ananda, I know it's in myself, intrinsic to me. One thing that's pointed out, Vijayaji has pointed out many times, and it's a very, very good point on this. Sat is not hard to see sat everywhere in external world, and also myself. Not too hard. It's not covered too much. That's pretty easy. Chit, to see in myself, chit is also not hard. To see chit behind everything, a little bit more. It is hidden, but it's also, undergrad. It's not very, very, it's not too difficult. But ananda is much more hidden than the others. The ananda. So this one is actually what is harder to see. Because if all of them were easy to see, then it would be very easy to see this is my intrinsic nature. But somehow this one is more covered. So interesting. And we're not looking for sat and chit. We are a little bit. We said of security in this. But what we're looking for, people are looking for happiness. Everybody, you go interview anybody, everybody will say, yes, I want to be happy. One way or the other, they'll say this. They'll say other things, but why do they want those other things? Why do they want certain laws to be put in, or certain people to rule, or live in a certain place, or have a certain kind of job, or not have a job? All these things, because they want to be happy. So literally, that's what we're all looking for. And the funniest thing is this. If we're seeking for happiness, by seeking for happiness, it means only one thing. It means that I am not happy. As long as you seek for happiness, you're not happy. So this Swami Tathagatananda recommends. He says, you want to be happy? First thing, stop seeking for happiness. You seek for happiness, you're always going to look for it somewhere. Stop seeking. If you stop seeking, then you just stop running after things. So you're just content, happy, no problem, like this. And so in this way, this is very good advice, like this, because then it's just there. But we always think it's somewhere, someplace, some time. And we do find, and that's the thing, we find, but we find it just very limited. And then, we found a little there. Maybe if I increase that, I'll get more. It's kind of like, you'll see that somebody builds a tall building, 100 stories. You climb up, it looks like we're closer to the moon. Okay, very good. Let's get the engineers and build a taller building, 10 times as tall. Good. Oh, we're even closer to the moon. Maybe we can reach the moon like this. You'll keep doing it. Are you going to ever build a building that'll get anywhere near the moon? Nothing. So in this way, no matter how much you add these, it's not going to do it, because it's always conditional, depending on something, upadhi, so it's reflected ananda, never. And then state of mind also, because state of mind, we said the being is shanti. It doesn't mean the silence of the mind is the shanti. Silence of the mind, when the mind is just silent because I did some pranayama, now my mind is quiet sometime, very nice. Now it's a certain state, so I enjoy that state. But then that state also goes. Paravrittincha, right? Nivrittincha, it comes and goes. So it comes, goes. So sometime mind will be more absorbed, sometime not. I'm the one aware of the quiet mind. So good, I'm content, the mind is quiet. The mind is noisy, okay, let him make noise. I'm just the observer. Observer is totally fine, unaffected by the observed in this way. So even that one, we can't make it, don't make it conditional on the state of mind. Of course, for viveka and this, if the mind is too unruly, it'll be hard to do. That's why yoga is helpful as a preparation, so the mind is not, if it's swinging too much, it'll be very hard to do any viveka. So it has its place. But then the state of mind, that's not the ananda we're looking for, because that's a state of mind. It's something intrinsic, regardless. So when the mind gets, when it's very far off, I don't manage to, okay, no problem. But when the mind gets a little bit one direction, the other, see if then we can see, I'm content in myself even with this, in that way. This is, something we can try to do like that. Let's see if anything else can important here. think this is some of the main points we can discuss on this one. And then, of course, even if one says, okay, so, but I love God, I love the God. Okay, that's very good. But if the God is as the other, that also is some sort of upadhi or something. What is the other then? I feel something, right? Some feeling, something. Then that one also is not going to always be the same like this. As long as God isn't the Atma itself, my nature, the other, then it's dependent, because then when the God, you don't feel the God then, oh, I don't feel the presence, so I don't feel good with this. Now I'm angry at the God. The God hasn't come for some time, so I will stop worshiping. I'm going to change. Different God is going to be better. This one didn't do, you know. Lord Shiva didn't do. He just gave me, you know, half of the time happiness. I'll put him aside. Ma Durga, I'm going to become her devotee like this. People do that. You know, or this one gave people more siddhis. This one and that. Oh, I'm going to worship this one even better. So in this way, even that, yeah, so you feel very good. It's good. It shows you there's something there. But then where did that come from? It came from me. And then if it's conditional, then still that conditional. So the God itself also, the love of God in the end, will be Atma itself. All the love, the source of all the love, all the joy is I, the Atma. It just experientially reflected one way or the other. This is what it's saying in this way. So actually a lot of the practices, preliminary practices, the nice thing is they take my attention away that I can feel some joy, not because of as many worldly things, because of the state of mind, balance, yoga, the balance, body-mind, bhakti, or some uplifting idea. So it helps then to find, yes, there is some greater joy I can find, you know, it's more expansive and more subtle than I get from the worldly things. And then afterwards, then we say even that one is conditional. So let's look even further. Vedanta says, even look further, even that one is coming, the source of that one is you as well, like this. Not you as the body-mind, because we said it's not from the mind. So looking further. So this is a nice thing. That already helps to take the attention away from just from the worldly situation to something else and something more subtle. So it has its place, like this, yoga and bhakti and all this. And then afterwards, you know, through vichara, we can turn the attention, say, well, it's really just me, right, like this. So these are a few thoughts on this. Sapriti atma kutas kutastaha. We didn't read the verse, did we? We talked about that reading. Okay, let's read the verse after we talked about it. So it says here in 53, let's read part by part. Dehadi pancha koshastha.
Ya priti ranubhuyate.
Sa priti ratma kutasthaha.
Iti
vedanta dindimaha. So sa priti atma kutasthaha, it's solid, not changing. As long as it's changing, it's to its being. Not the original, but the upadhi. And kutastha, there are different meanings they give to. One of the meanings is the anvil. An anvil because so many things are for years and years and generations in the blacksmith shop. He has the anvil there and makes many different things. Heats the metal, hits and hits on there, makes all the noise. But the same anvil remains all the time. All the metal is melted down, made into different things. After some time, brought back, melted again, hammered, changes. But that one anvil stays all the time. So the base like this. So this priti here, this ananda, is like that. Always the base, always the same, not something different. So finding that this contentment, this joy is within me, intrinsic to me, it's me myself, not something else. As long as it's something else, then it's dependent, and anything, then I lose my independence, and then, if that happens, good. If it changes, then I'm in trouble again. So that's why it's so important to investigate and find this. Then I'm independent. So stopping to be from looking for the happiness to outside to doing this viveka and finding it is me, myself, in this way. Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.